Hello and welcome to our broadcast. This is number 3 in our series on Lessons from the Book of Luke. In the book of Luke, we have a story here beginning with an angel coming from heaven. There hasn't been any response from heaven for 400 years. Matthew talks about an angel talking to Joseph, but that's a little further on in the story. Mark doesn't mention any angels at all. John mentions angels a couple of times, but that is halfway through the story in the book of John. But as we get into the book of Luke, we find right at the beginning, chapter number 1, an angel comes and talks to Zacharias. Again, keep in mind, the first time that anyone has heard from heaven in 400 years, and it is Zacharias who gets the message. Now, in the eyes of the world, Zacharias was really, he was a leader, he was a priest, but he was considered insignificant. He wasn't one of those big-shot priests down in Jerusalem. He was out in the hill country, and that's who God came to. And so that ought to be an encouragement to any pastors who are pastoring in what the world might call an insignificant church. Insignificant means it's too small to be bothered with, and I know exactly how that feels because that's the kind of church we have. We have a very small church, and it's getting smaller. It's not getting bigger. And the more you preach the truth, the more you're going to have people want to be bothered listening to you. However, you will get the attention of God. Zacharias was that kind of man. You read that story here in verse number 5 of chapter 1, and it says here that both he, verse 6, both he and Elizabeth were righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord, blameless. And so they had no child. It kind of sounds like when you're really sincere, and we are sincere here in our church of trying to reach unsaved people, but we don't seem to be having many of them. And here was Zachariah and Elizabeth, and they're probably feeling pretty discouraged. They're too old now to have children, and they have no child. That's a stigma. We mentioned that before for Jewish ladies not to have an offspring, and especially for Zachariah, who would want to have a boy to continue the line of the family. But in the eyes of the world, they were insignificant people, not in the eyes of God. They were even insignificant in the religious world of that day. The second time the angel shows up, he doesn't talk to an old man like Zacharias, who was a leader, but rather just a young lady, very young. She was probably 12, 13, maybe 14 years old. She also would be seemingly insignificant by most people around her. And both times it was the angel Gabriel who showed up to talk to these people. Now, there's only two angels mentioned in all of the Bible. One is Gabriel. The other one is Michael. Now, there's lots of other angels, but these are the only two that we have their names. In both cases, the angel is coming from heaven with a special message that has to do with a miracle birth. Well, we picked a story up today in verse 24 of Luke chapter 1. And it says, after those days, his wife, that is Zechariah's wife, Elizabeth, conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Now, I don't think it says here she hid herself, that she crawled into a closet somewhere. To hide here simply means to keep secret or unknown exactly what was going on. Remember, she's an older lady, probably in her 70s, maybe even older. And if she's going to tell somebody that she's going to have a child, they're all going to laugh at her anyway. And so she just kept it hid for 5 months. And she was excited about the fact that she said, the Lord has taken away my reproach. Now, the first time you have that phrase, my reproach, it's found way back in the book of Genesis, where Rachel said, God has taken away my reproach, and it's the same thing. She was about to have a child. In verse 26, we read, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." Now, we have a lot of interesting and important information here. In the sixth month, that's referring to the fact that Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant at this time. The angel Gabriel, the same angel that had spoken to Zacharias, was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, that's important. That's an insignificant town, a nothing town, way out in the hill country. It's so interesting how the greatest story that's ever been told in this world begins with these insignificant people in an insignificant place. Well, it says that the angel came to a virgin, and that's important because Jesus was born of a virgin. If he wasn't, none of us are going to heaven. He was born of a virgin who was espoused or engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. Now, he is also very insignificant. He comes off the scene very early in the story after Jesus begins his ministry. But the important thing we see here about Joseph in this particular portion of Scripture is that he is of the house of David. That means he was in the royal line, which, because both Mary and Joseph were of the royal line, this gave Jesus the absolute right to walk in and claim the throne of Israel. Well, again, it says the virgin's name was Mary, and that's so important. It's mentioned twice, the virgin. The angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Now, keep in mind here, she's troubled at his saying. He has not told her that she's going to have a child yet. She is troubled at the very thought that she would be highly favored with God, and she would be blessed among women in any way. She was a very humble young teenage girl. And by the way, it says that she was blessed. It does not say she would be the blesser. And it does not say that you could pray to her and have your prayers answered. She never heard a prayer in the world. She was an ordinary, insignificant young lady who was absolutely in love with the Lord, wanted to do what the Lord wanted her to do. And so that's why she was chosen for this particular responsibility. And what a responsibility it was. Well, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Why would he say this about me? Well, the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there would be no end." Now, Mary would realize that this angel is quoting from the book of Isaiah, and she would understand that this would be the Christ child this angel was talking about. Well, she's a young lady, and, this is all happening pretty fast. Again, the first time in 400 years anybody's heard from heaven. "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing, called Holy One four times, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." What a major sentence that is. "For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Now, she had some questions about this, but obviously her attitude was not the same as Zechariah's attitude when he refused to believe. She didn't refuse to believe, but he was struck deaf and dumb. She was not. Well, we read in verse 39, "Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah." Now, she went about 80 miles to where Zacharias lived. And she entered the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe, that would be John the Baptist, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." Well, we got to ask ourselves the question, why would this young lady, Mary, when she found out that she was going to have the Christ child, take an 80-mile trip out into the hill country to visit with Elizabeth? Well, I think one of the things was that Elizabeth would be the only person in the world that she would have something in common with at this time. If she had gone to anybody else and said, you know, "I'm going to have a baby and I have never been with a man," they'd say, you know, you've been dreaming here. But not Elizabeth. Elizabeth spoke out loud, it says. And she said right away, verse 43, "And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Now keep in mind, this is an older lady talking to a teenager. "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." What an interesting verse. "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid." She was so humble. "For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." And she did fear the Lord, not in the sense that she was afraid of him, but in the sense that she had great reverence for the Lord and whatever he wanted. And she is willing to totally and completely upset the rest of her life by being the Virgin Mary. I mean, for her to have a child, nobody's going to believe her. She's going to be ostracized for the rest of her life. And she said, "I'm the handmaid of the Lord, whatever he wants to do." We read down in verse 56, "And Mary abode with her," that is with Elizabeth, "about 3 months, and returned to her own house." Now, you remember when she went there, Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant. Now, she's been there for 3 months. It says, verse 57, "Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son." In verse 80, we read, "The child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts until the day of his showing unto Israel." And that's important again. We've mentioned that every verse in the Bible has a singular interpretation. Every verse has manifold applications. And he is here. The purpose for John the Baptist has to do with presenting the Messiah, that is, for the Jews of Israel. He is being presented as their king. Of course, we know they turned him down. Well, what is the best lesson we can learn? There's so many lessons from this chapter. One thing we can learn for sure is that when God prophesies something, it will happen. These ladies, both miracle children here that they had, and the Bible says in prophecy in verse number 16 and 17 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." That's the next thing on God's program. And when God prophesies something, it's going to happen. Now we're living in uncertain days, but this last verse, verse 17, ends with this sentence, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And we would pray, even as John did in the book of Revelation, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus."